All right. Hey, this video is sparked from a coaching conversation I had that is a perfect example that one person's blessing is another's curse. And for me, it's back to this one size fits all versus what size fits you. And there's so much nuance into the world of people giving advice and support. And I have to be constantly woken up, if you will, and recognizing myself that that the work I do is designed to help to figure out what size fits you, because what worked for me, it made a line, but it may not, which means there's a whole trajectory and a path that I took that was natural, easy, and fun and enjoyable for me that would be hell on earth for someone else. And that became abundantly clear in a conversation I was having with one of my clients, because they were telling me, I work with a lot of videographers and different creatives, but this particular person's a videographer who does weddings and some other event stuff. And they were telling me how they were working on what they called a hype video. And a hype video is really, for all intents and purposes, a music video, a highlight reel, a sizzle reel, hype video. There's a number of different names, but by and large, they probably range anywhere from 30 seconds on the short end, maybe, but typically somewhere probably 2 to 5 minutes long. And they're typically just sexy clips to a cool song. And it's just kind of like bam, 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 shot, shot, shot. It can be different paces, but by and large, they're just clips and music. There's nothing else going on to them. They're not getting testimonials. They're not doing a lot of research so that they can interview people and ask the right questions and craft the narrative and craft the story. And so he's telling me that he's doing this and he goes, man, I'm working on this hype video. I hate it. But it wasn't I hate this one. It was I hate doing them, period, full stop, right? And I thought about that in that moment and I'm like, that is so fascinating. Because when you think it through, like, that was my heaven. So for that guy, that's his curse. That's his hell. That's what he doesn't want to do. That's not exciting. That's not fun. Because he goes on to say, wow, when I got to do some research and we've got different people and we're going to do interviews, we got to tell this story, we tell this narrative, you know, and stuff. Oh, man, it just makes me so excited. I thought, oh, my God, sounds like a nightmare to me. Like, because for that, if I don't get help, I will procrastinate. I will waste time. I won't get it done. Yada, yada, yada. It is not a blessing in my life. I have to get help for that kind of stuff. So there's stuff when I talked about the Red Sea, which is reduce, eliminate, delegate, collaborate. Well, to the degree you build a business that you must delegate, then you have to learn to delegate. Right? People throw these things around like delegation. Well, there's another example. Like, by and large, I have content right now at the recording of this one that is going out, emails that are going out, shorts that are getting released, certain things that are happening. Thumbnails on these videos are getting changed. Titles are getting changed if appropriate. And I have somebody else doing that. Like, I do want to do whatever I can to the best of my ability to bring stuff out regularly. And I also want to give it the greatest chance of people finding it. You know, I can sit here and act like, oh, I'm just going to get on here willy-nilly and just talk and do my thing and that's that and let the cards lay where they may. And there is a sliver of truth to that, to the degree that right now I'm building the muscle of doing it. I love doing this, but the more I add layer upon layer of things to manage or think about, then the less I want to do it, the less I do it, it doesn't get done. And then nobody gets impacted, right? Nobody gets the help. There's no exposure, so I can't help more people. And so I know that, number one, I have to just do it, right? I can't think about all these other things, titles and thumbnails and posting and all this stuff, because I love coaching. I spend the majority of my day coaching people, right? If you want to reach out, send me a message. I'm super easygoing, laid back in regards to there's no pressure. There's no high pressure sales. There's no even scheduled calls. So just send me a messenger. You can go to the mymechanic.net, check some stuff out. You can contact me there. You can find me on one of the platforms and essentially send me a DM. But yeah, that's how I spend the majority of time. So I'm not this like content creator that wants to spend 6 to 10 hours a day, like planning out these videos and, you know, having the perfect video that can go out so that I could release one video a week. I know that me speaking and doing this, how I do it, with a little less preparation and like, I had the thing, I got sparked, I'm on here, I'm doing this right now, right? And some people are like, yeah, he doesn't make any sense, he's all over the place. Well, that's fine and probably won't necessarily love my coaching either. But the coaching I have is always specific to the individual. right? So I get to hear their story, their situation, your story, your situation, and custom tailor what I'm saying specifically to you. This is getting a little bit more generalized because there could be a variety of people listening to it. But I know that I had one of my biggest months in coaching that I had in 2 years because I wasn't really taking action. And I was kind of stuck in my own mud. I was loving my life personally, but professionally, I was exhausted, right? And so now in the last 6 weeks, I've been finding momentum. I've been finding a groove. I've been getting on here. I've been doing these things. But in the grand scheme of things, there are things that I do want to happen that I could eliminate, which I did for 2 years. I just said, screw social media, by and large. I didn't mess with it. I didn't try to make videos. I didn't try to make content. I'm going to start running ads here soon. Like, I didn't do any of it. I had done so much of it for so long. So many things had happened. I said, screw it. I'm just going to do my thing, take care of the clients that I have, and recharge my batteries. Did some video production stuff again. But I knew there was an element missing. There was something missing. And that missing part is I've been given a voice that I know without a shadow of a doubt encourages and inspires and motivates people. It 100% does. I've got literally in my phone between screenshots and audio messages in my app I coach with in videos, I've got hundreds. I've got over 500 screenshots of people leaving comments on videos like this through the years, really only since 2019, actually. I mean, there's thousands if I go back, but since 2019 when I started documenting them, there's over 500. Of emails and comments on public things saying, thank you for this. Thank you for this. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Right? So I know that my voice, when I'm doing something like this, makes an impact and makes a difference. But when I got in my head and start overanalyzing, well, if I'm going to do it, it's going to be seen. I got to do this special title and special thumbnail, and I got to research and I got to plan it, and I got to have 4 bullet points, and I got to have only 3 points I make in the video, and I got to end. All that stuff made me go, I don't want to do that because I don't do that in my coaching. All the huge impact I've made on individuals that I've privately coached, I don't sit here and go, let me give them a 3-step process. Let me go and start this audio with a particular intro. And then I'm going to say these 3 points and then I'm going to stop at 3 minutes and 27 seconds and I'm going to end it on this. Like, I don't do any of that. And so it's like, I want to release content, but I don't want to do all that stuff because I don't consider myself a content creator in the sense of like, my dream is to just record videos like this all day where nobody's interacting with me and nobody's connecting and nobody's asking a question and nobody's commenting and nobody's doing any of this stuff. And all of it's just, I want to script and prepare and, you know, create this video and add B-roll and editing because I love doing all that. There are people where that's their blessing. That's what they love. That's what they get joy from, right? That is my hell. That is my curse. Can I improve? We can all improve things, but to the degree that I have a lot of proof that there's a way in my life that I can succeed creating a life that I'm building what I want to build, doing what I want to do and loving that. I don't have to build somebody else's dream, meaning there's stuff that I can make a great living at that's my dream and my joy. And for somebody else, that would be a curse. Well, whatever your dream is, there's a way to potentially build that. And it won't look like what mine looks like. The problem is most of the advice that's out there is, I have a dream. But it's people don't really know. They want certainty. And there's a lot of people out there who will create a sense of certainty in people with what they think to be predictable systems around how to succeed. And although there are things in life that are very specific, how to make, you know, certain recipes you can follow to make certain kind of, you know, desserts or foods and food in general, right? There's lots of things that you can get specific and say, I'm going to go A to Z on how to do this, right? And then there's things that it's literal, do this, 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 and this. And there's no playing around with it per se. And then there's the people who still play around with those ingredients and make something else, right? And then you've got like softwares. We can teach the principles of how to edit and how to shoot and how to think about that and what apertures do. And sometimes you could say it's great to learn the rules so you can break the rules, right? And so that's great. But to the degree that somebody can come in and say, I tried all these things, I did all these things, and then I found a way, and then I had all this success. And then the people who decide they want to become teachers and be course creators, I want to go, I have done this. So if you do this, you will get this. But it's such, there's so many nuances in that thing that to assume that somebody can watch a series of training videos and recreate the exact result is low. You don't know where the success and where the person, like what they already know. Like there's too many things to guarantee that. Now, you're going to have people that can take those and learn things and know that ultimately they're not going to fall it to a T, but it's positioned in creating expectations in people that they can fall it to a T, or that in 30 days, this is the money you'll make because someone made it. The problem is if it's going to take you 9 months and other people 3 months and other people a year and a half and somebody else 30 days, if the expectation that was set in your mind was 30 days, if it doesn't happen in 30 days, it's like shipping. If you were told 1 to 3 days, well, anywhere between 1 to 3 days, you're happy. But on the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, et cetera, you're not happy, right? You're upset. And the longer it takes you to get a hold of somebody, the more upset you're going to be. If they told you it was going to take a month and there was only one place to order from, it's going to take a month, you'd be discouraged, you'd be disappointed, but you'd accept that it's going to take a month. You know, people, you know, could find other alternative ways to have a baby, but if a person truly wants to have a baby and can't have a baby, they can't speed the process up of having the baby. The baby's going to take 8 to 9 months. And if it's anything short of that, then there's probably going to be a problem, right? And they may want it to go faster, but they can't force it. And so that expectation creates a little bit of relief because you know this is roughly how long it's going to take. The problem is in business, people don't know how long things are really going to take. So the expectations get created by other people. And then the processes at which we're doing something we don't always love. And if you're building someone else's dream, you're likely to not continue long enough to see the success. And so what I find is that, yes, like, you can build, you might not know what your dream is or what you want to do, but as you're doing things and exploring things, you're going to fall in love more with certain things than other things. You're going to see certain things you can become more naturally inclined to want to do more of than other things. I say lean into that, right? And to the degree that you're designing a business to me that you don't want to retire from, that you're going to get the greatest return from, not because you're trying to get out of it or run away from it or not do more of it, but that you want to do at least the majority of it. I find that very few creatives, at least the kind of people who follow me, aren't the kind of people who are going to spend 5 years doing something they hate so they can get to the outcome at the other end, which might be freedom and flexibility and time and money and all these things that the process they're working on is promising them. Very few people that follow me through the years, and I've been at this coaching people to some degree since 2010, was my first official paid person. And I probably at this point had thousands of people that I've had some level of interaction with through the years, and very few of them pursue something that they know from the get-go that there is more that they hate than they love. Now, I'm not saying that the path before someone will be completely and entirely easy, fun, enjoyable, freedom-filled, you know, oh my gosh, it's just so great. I love every minute of this. It's like, no, because somebody poked the other day, and I'll bring this up. This will be possibly a little video point. But so somebody brought up to me the other day that ultimately some of my content can sound a little leprechaun-y, right? It's like, oh, luck of the draw, just do what you love and you can have a great life, my friend. And it's like, look, the reality of the situation is that if you, to get to a life that you are doing more that you love than you hate, if you don't set the intention that I'm building a business that's going to have clients that I enjoy, work that I enjoy, a lifestyle that I enjoy, basically a business that you build your business around your life, not a life around a business. And you're going to integrate these things so that they work in unison. They work together. It fuels your soul. It impacts others. It makes an income. It takes care of your family. All these things. If we don't think about it to a degree of going, yes, in the beginning, there might be some more of things that I don't like than I love. But sometimes you might not even know what that is. But as you start to identify, you can play with these different ingredients and design something that you ultimately do really love. And if you think you're never going to get there, then you won't. You 100% will not. If you think it's airy-fairy and pie in the sky, then you're likely to always have a life and business that is out of whack, out of balance, but balance, not perfect equilibrium, but yet you're being able to dance between these worlds of personal and professional and doing things that you love. And every once in a while, there's some little sprinkling like, that was a little annoying. I wish I didn't have to do that, but it's there. Versus I don't know. I'm always going to have this business that just kind of like, I have to either choose something that makes no money and that I just love and I do as a hobby while I have something I hate. I just don't believe that we have to have a life that's hate and love, but more hate than love. I believe that there's always going to be sprinkling, and it's all perspective, because back to the story I gave earlier of the person who described the kind of work that they hated in video was the exact kind of stuff that I loved. Well, the thing for me, if I wanted to go do a free project that I went and did in 24 hours could be a thing that I'm proud of, I'm excited by, right? But that same thing that I'm proud and excited by, that I'm doing my best, something that I'm jazzed about, is something that could get me a $5,000 project. Whereas the other person might take 3 weeks to do the thing that they're jazzed about and they're impressed by and they're excited by, that might or might not get them $5,000, right? So I've always been able to say certain things strategically from a business standpoint for me, especially with the video space, that ultimately is, it works for me because of how I'm wired. It's why when I coach people, I'm not telling people to do things like me. I typically stick, if you see these three symbols, I stick with the heart and the lightning bolt. It's the invisible, the intangible, the soft skills, you know, the law of attraction, energy, inspiration. It's all the things we can't see. The wrench is the practicality, right? It's the thing, I can touch this. I can hold this in my hand. I can hold this notebook in my hand. I can see it. I can touch it. I can feel it, right? The tangible, the physical, the practical, the strategy, right? And I have understanding in that world, but I'm great in the mental game. I'm the guy that you've watched all the videos, all the courses, all the programs, read all the books. You've had the mentors, you had the 8-week thing, the certifications, you have all this stuff. You have all the strategy. You have all the wrench. You have all the practicality. You know what to do. You know the steps to do it, right? All that's there. And if it's working for you and you're happy and enjoying life, you got a business that makes you money and everything's firing at all cylinders, then you probably don't necessarily need to talk to me too much. But if you're that person that with all that stuff, you're still stuck, you're depressed, you're unhappy, you're not satisfied, you're confused, you're not taking action, right? Then I can help out, because I love the emotional side of things, the psychological side of things, because without the two, they have to dance together. If all I do is kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya, you know, and money comes to me. If I do absolutely nothing, I don't call anyone. I don't email anyone. I don't message anyone. No one knows that I exist. I just stay in my basement. I just stay in the woods by myself. No one knows who I am. No one interacts with me. No one knows where I am. But million-dollar checks appear in my mailbox week after week after week, so that I can stay in the woods by myself with no interaction with anyone ever again in my entire life. I will not post on the internet. I will not send emails. I will not have a website. In fact, I will not even have an address to my house, but they will find my mailbox. They will know where it is at, right? Like, the reality is, if that is the only thing I do all day, but I believe, I don't believe enough that millions of dollars will appear on a regular basis in your mailbox. Yeah, and I believe a lot of things, and I believe anything is possible. Do I believe that somehow magically some random thing may or may not happen at some point in time, and you could have millions of dollars show up randomly, or some random person could walk by? I actually do believe that. Is it going to happen on the regular? Do you know when the hell it's going to happen? Could you sit out there in the tent waiting for 45 years before this person walks by, that all of a sudden you build a mansion, but you've been, you know, nothing but a tent for the last 40 years? I don't know. That part I don't know. And I don't want to rely 100% on just praying to the gods in the universe and not taking a lick of action and, you know, believing that magical fairy dust unicorns are going to show up out of nowhere, right? But I also don't believe in the run through brick walls, sleep when you're dead, bleed your eyes out, and like, hey, there's a door that's right there, but you're just going to choose to break through the wall because that's just what, you know, is the better, more, you know, masculine thing to do, right? You don't want to take the easy path. There's a door right there you could open up, and you know, you wouldn't be so bloody and beat up and ragged and beat down, right? So to me, it's the dance between the two. There's a time and a place for that. And sometimes, you know, more of that brute force is a way to do something. But I love the marriage of the two. I love the marriage between the practical and the impractical, the visible and the invisible, the tangible and the intangible, right? The heart and soul versus the like grind and blood, you know, whatever you want to say. I love the blending of the two. And there's a real power there. But the people that I help the most are the ones I help dance between the two, but really have all the practical. You know, I've coached in many programs in the past that they had everything they needed. They were stuck. Those are my people. Because I'm obsessed with the people who have everything they need but aren't taking action. And I got to experience that. I think I come from a place of this visceral, I got to experience things so I can better help people. Like, I've experienced not taking any action much in the last 2 years. I got to really feel what it was like to sit with myself and be kind of demotivated and not as driven and having tried all these things and taken all this action and had all this success. And then to come out the other side of that, I can speak from an experience of like, I know what it feels like to be demotivated and de-energized and not very driven. And yet then coming out of that, I've experienced the full spectrum of like massive imperfect action all the way to massively overthinking all my actions and not doing anything overall, and everywhere in between. And now I'm catching myself. There's even something that I want to share right now. And I haven't shared because I'm not ready for all the stuff emotionally and mentally I'll have to deal with when I post this thing. And I knew I just came off of like, it was very draining. Because how many of you who hear this, how many of you who hear this right now can relate to this? That you are absolutely 100% exhausted and you haven't done anything physically exhausting. Right? You are so tired, but you're not doing anything that would exhaust you physically. How can I be so tired? It's not like you're running a marathon. It's not like you're on a treadmill, walking, running, you know, 10 miles a day. But emotionally, you're dealing with a lot and it drains you. Whether that's friends, family, clients, coworkers, job, the economy, there's these things and you're analyzing it, you're thinking about it. It's giving you, you know, anxiety, stress, all these things are happening, and that is draining you. I love the energy management, being more intentional about things so that you're not just constantly burnt out all the time. How do you manage that? And see, for me, it's this dance between, you know, I'm going to build something that by and large is something that I want to do. I don't want to retire from and fits within my natural gifts. And things like posting, you know, these shorts and having things being snippeted out of this that could impact somebody. Like, I know how to do it all. And quite frankly, I could go, well, the easier thing than having to potentially hire somebody and manage them a little bit and have them do it would be not do it at all. But it's like, I really want it done. I really do want it to be out there. So now I find the simplest way for me to have that get done by somebody else, but it still takes some extra work. Some people are not willing. There's a give and take at times. And to get to a life that you love, there's going to be things potentially in the way you're going to have to overcome. But if you know what's a blessing to you and a curse to others, then you can do more blessing, right? And you can do less curse, but there'll still be things in the way at times. And you've got to decide what's more important. And for me, making an impact is more important than the little bit of discomfort it takes to go find somebody, a little bit of management. But I still don't have it where it's like, oh, I want to have it where I got to find people all the time that I got to hire and train and find. And then I have to maybe get feedback for these things because I want to spend my days coaching, not managing people, not managing people, not having to hire, find, train people, not talking in the real technical, strategic way. I love to talk in the emotional way, right? What's going on emotionally, psychologically, mentally, and how do we work through that? I've had a lot of clients that at times, the number one thing that increases, at times it is their money, 100%. But it is their emotional well-being, their mental health. And I told my wife the other day, it's like, we've done so much work to be happy with less that it's going to be so much easier to be happy with more. But so many people aren't happy with less that when they get more, they're still not happy. And that's the biggest disappointment. Is that if you don't have a lot and you're not happy and you work really hard and even potentially grind and hustle to achieve a level and status of money and accolades and awards and external wins. And then when you have it all, you still feel empty inside. You still feel lost. That's really, really tough to deal with. I've had little versions of it. I've coached and worked with people who have had a lot of it. And I've seen people all over the internet who you can observe who have really, really thought that there was a light at the end of the tunnel, and they worked really hard to fill a void inside with the external. And then when they did it, it was tough, because when you've worked that hard and you didn't get what you wanted out of it, the disappointment is really great. It's really high. And I have found that when expectations get calibrated properly, you can have a lot less disappointment. And that way, and when you're building something you're not trying to retire from, meaning you're not doing a ton of stuff you just hate all day, every day, in hopes that in 5 years you'll achieve X and then you won't hate your life anymore or hate what you're doing. It's the people who just want to keep going because they love what they're doing that tend to be at times the happiest. I have a quote over here, and we'll end on this. Things turn out best for those people who make the best of how things turn out. Things turn out the best for the people who make the best of how things turn out. Sometimes it's a matter of perspective. So, rock and roll, my friends. If you want any help personally, you want like your own almost looks like personal private podcast with me. I do coaching that is very different than a lot of people. You don't have to worry about scheduled calls. I love freedom and flexibility. My coaching allows you to have that. You don't have to worry about your schedule. I don't have time for this. I have a busy schedule, yada, yada, yada. You don't have to do that with me. And we get to work on your time, and it's an incredible way. We mainly do audio messaging. You got to give it a try, because once you try, you won't go back, overall. So you can reach out to me, themindmechanic.net, and go to contact there, DM on any platform. I'm probably most active on Facebook Messenger, if you're going to message there. And, hope you found this helpful. I'll be back. Keep rocking, keep rolling, and have an incredible day. Bye-bye.